Good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning. Viva Fiesta. I'm Chrissy Mernon. And my guests, I have two employees of the Texas Department of Transportation with me. Laura Lopez is the Public Information Officer, and Robbie Smith is the Traffic Safety Specialist. And Officer Doug Green from the San Antonio Police Department Public Information Office is here. And I have to congratulate him. He was just recently awarded the Officer of the Year. We're so proud of you, Doug. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm honored.
And so we are talking about TxDOT has Plan While You Can. While we all love Fiesta, it is a time that I suspect people are drinking more than normally, and probably there's a lot of drinking going on every night because that's part of a celebration in San Antonio, alcohol, and there's a lot of concern about people drinking and driving. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We have this Plan While You Can campaign. And so, Robbie, we'll start with you. You're a traffic safety specialist with the Texas Department of Transportation. What do you do? And then tell me about the Plan While You Can campaign, please.
Sure, absolutely. I am a traffic safety specialist with TxDOT. And actually, we are launching our Plan While You Can campaign again as we're getting ready to gear up for Fiesta, which is going to be April 20th through the 30th. And actually, we're just encouraging everyone to plan ahead, think ahead. We don't want anyone on the roads drinking and driving. Put that plan into action before you even leave home. Think about who's going to be the designated driver. And that designated driver is the person who has had no alcohol at all. Not the person who has had one drink or two drinks, or I didn't have five, so I can still drive. It's actually the person who has had no alcohol. And so that's really what our campaign is about.
And so you are encouraging people during Fiesta to make a plan, designate a driver, and if you are drinking, don't drive.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's so many alternatives out there right now. We are partnering with VIA, so, you know, take public transportation. You know, Uber's out there. There's a lot of people that are using Uber, Lyft, taxi. Worst case scenario, how about call your friend, call a family member to come get you? Or if that doesn't work, stay where you are. That's the best plan that you can have at this particular time because you don't want to cause an accident. We want everyone to just get home safely or to your next destination safely.
Mm-hmm. And so I'll ask Officer Doug Green about alcohol and Fiesta. What goes on, what the San Antonio police see on the streets during Fiesta?
Well, absolutely. You know, everybody's out having a good time, very family-oriented celebrations we have here in San Antonio. It's just classic San Antonio. But like you said, with celebrations, there are some alcohol consumption that's going on. And we just want people to be responsible. And so we've had to make several DWI arrests here in the past. And when just making one arrest, you've potentially saved someone's life. You probably saved maybe that driver's life or, you know, maybe prevented an accident happening down the road. But thankfully, these past 6 years, we've had a fatality-free Fiesta-related situations where we've had accidents, but they haven't been fatality accidents during Fiesta. And that's a blessing in itself. And that's the goal this year. So that's why, you know, SAPD, along with Bexar County Sheriff's Office and other law enforcement agencies here in the area, we're going to be out here in full force trying to find drunk drivers and trying to save lives.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do during Fiesta, Doug?
Well, I'm going to be out on the SAPD Facebook page. I'm going to be out and about, and we're going to do what's called a virtual ride-along. So I'll be out there, you know, taking pictures and trying to educate the public on to encourage them not to drink and drive and also distracted driving and to wear their seat belts and so forth. But we also will be showing people that are being arrested and not to be mean or cruel. But we want to reinforce that we are out there looking for intoxicated drivers. Now, we won't be putting anybody's face on our Facebook page, but you will be seeing people in handcuffs. You may see some of the open containers that we retrieve from the cars, just to reiterate how serious this is. So we're going to be out there having fun, taking pictures with people, but we're also going to be showing that we are making arrests.
You know, before you went to the public information office, you were a patrolman, weren't you?
Yeah, I was a patrolman on the shallow west side for about 4 years and had my share of having to arrest people for drinking and driving. And then also when I've went into PIO, it actually kind of got worse. I didn't make the stops, but I had to respond to some of these scenes, these fatality scenes. And it's just awful.
They are awful. All right. So what's it like for, you know, to kind of explain to people what it's like? Because, you know, we see stuff as far as entertainment TV. You see stuff in the movies, but that's not real, is it? What's it really like when you see someone who's under the influence driving? What are you looking for? What do you suspect? And then, of course, you know, those horrible crashes, because I know they have an impact on everyone involved, and then the emergency responders who have to deal with the aftermath of it.
Absolutely. Well, what we're looking for, usually someone is swerving, not maintaining in the proper lane. Some people pass out right at the traffic light or at a stop sign. Some people just stop in the middle of the freeway. And they pass out. And then so when we approach these individuals, they have no idea how they got where they are. There's a strong odor of intoxicants coming off of their breath. Their eyes are glassy. You know, just their mental faculties are all off. And you kind of take a sigh of relief that, man, we got to get this person off of the road immediately. We get their car towed. And, of course, we take them down to the magistrate's office where we will perform either a blood test or a breath test and then get that person processed and off the road and hopefully have them sober up.
So now they're facing a charge of driving under the influence.
Driving under the influence. And again, if you've been charged with that in the past, it's going to be enhanced. Mm-hmm. And then the big thing is if you have anybody under the age of 15 in that vehicle, you're looking at probably a felony offense. So these are, it's a very serious charge. And you're looking at, you know, some people, okay, with DWI, it doesn't matter what profession. We've arrested people at all professions.
I know. You know, sadly, police officers have been arrested.
Absolutely.
And sheriff's deputies.
Absolutely.
Doctors, lawyers.
Yes, absolutely. And these individuals, not only are they looking at these criminal charges, but they're looking at possibly losing their jobs as well.
That's right, because your license is on the line. Your peace officer license.
Correct.
Your professional license can be in trouble. Yeah, there seems to be zero tolerance in some places for drunk driving.
Yeah, very, very much so. Zero tolerance, especially in the law enforcement community. And I know for sure in the medical field as well, we've had to stop doctors and lawyers and nurses and so forth. And a lot of these individuals, once they kind of sober up and realize what they've done, they are just kind of heartbroken and distraught that, wow, I've just potentially lost my job here.
Yeah, this is really bad. Well, and, you know, so I'll ask the question now that I asked before we started our discussion today. And well, since we haven't heard from Laura Lopez, ask about, you know, do you drink and drive? Because it does seem prevalent. And you can have a drink and drive, perhaps, you know, one drink maybe. I don't know. People know their limits. So we'll ask about that. Laura?
Safety is our number one priority with TxDOT, and we stress it every day to our employees. And it's not worth having that drink and getting behind a vehicle and driving, because we stress it not just the month of April and during Fiesta, we stress it every single day of the year. So, you know, our campaigns, we have campaigns throughout the year. It's not only Fiesta coming up here, but we also had our National Work Zone event earlier this month. And it's also Distractive Driving Month. So there's so much out there that can cause someone to be injured or even in a fatal crash because of what they do behind the wheel, whether it's drinking or talking on the phone or even texting. So we stress safety every single day with the agency.
When you get in a car, Laura, what do?
Well, first thing I do is I put on my seatbelt and turn on my headlights. And of course, we really do stress a backing system in our complex. So if you drive by our office, you'll see everybody is actually parked, you know, back into their parking spaces. So we are backed in. So safety, like I said, safety is our number one priority, and it is stressed every single day.
So why do you back in? What's the advantage of that?
A lot of crashes do occur if someone is parked face in. People aren't paying attention. You know, a lot of vehicles don't have a backing up camera. But so that's what we do. We stress safety. And if you have somebody with you, we encourage people to spot them. So if you are with somebody and you're at the grocery store or going to the mall and somebody is in your passenger seat, ask them to spot you, help you back into your parking space.
So I'm going to assume, Laura, that you're an angel on the road.
Well, I like to say that I am. Of course, I practice what I preach. I talk about, all these campaigns that we have, whether it's Click It or Ticket or Drinking and Driving. I listen to the words that I say and I stress those and I do my best. I don't drink. I go to outings with my friends and so forth. And it's not worth it. I've been with the department for almost 21 years. And, speaking about it on a daily basis, I listen to what I say. And So I'm not going to make that mistake and drink. And, I'm going to make sure I have a designated driver. I'm going to make sure if I'm going to drink, I'm going to drink at home where it's safe for me to be with my husband. So that way he can tell me to go. You can go ahead and walk up the stairs now.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something that we do follow. And like I said, we do stress at work on a daily basis about safety. Mm-hmm. It is a number one priority. And that's what I remember every single day before I leave home.
And I think if we all did, we wouldn't have any problems, that if we were so aware of it, you bet. I'll ask Robbie the same question. Do you drink? And if you are drinking, obviously you plan?
Absolutely. I am really not a drinker at all. If I do, it usually is at home. The joke is in around my family and friends, I am the designated driver. Mm-hmm. Like Laura said, I practice what I preach, and I am not going to get behind a wheel after having one drink. It's just not worth it. I would say compared to Laura, I'm the newbie. I've only almost been at TxDOT 5 years, but I value my job and I take it very seriously. And so if I am talking about these safety campaigns, then I also need to be able to walk and do what I say as I'm getting the word out to the public. So for me, it's very important to pass that message along. And we do have another little saying that we say, and it's pass, and that's person appointed to stay sober. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's myself or another family member, I am not going to let anybody that I know get behind a wheel and drive impaired. I want them to get home safely. I value my family and friends. And if I have to call a taxi or if I have to take them home myself, then I'm willing to take that extra step because I don't even want anybody on the highway to be impacted by something that can go terribly wrong.
Mm-hmm. I'll ask Doug Green from the SAPD the same question. Do you drink? Do you drink and drive?
I do. I do consume alcohol, but I park it at the house. I stay at home. And if my wife and I are going to go out, we already have a plan already. Mm-hmm. If she's going to consume, I'll drive and then vice versa. So we already have a plan, just like Robbie says. You need to have a plan. But also what Robbie just mentioned about, people out on the freeway. I always tell my friends, if you're going to be out on the San Antonio highways after 12 o'clock, be very, very careful. We've had many incidents where people have got on our freeways driving the wrong way.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
so intoxicated.
Yeah.
We lost one of our officers
Stephanie
in a situation
Brown.
Like that, Officer mm-hmm. Stephanie Brown. So it's personal. It is personal for SAPD. What I also like to tell people is stay right at night.
Stay right
stay
at night?
Stay at that far right lane because usually the person is so intoxicated, they think they're in the other lane. And so just to reduce your chances of being struck by a wrong way driver, stay in that far right lane. And sometimes I even get behind some of these big trucks and I just follow them till I can get to my uh-huh. exit. Because when I used to work late at night, well, I'm out at all times of the day and night. But when I have to drive home, I stay in that far right lane. If I can get behind one of those big 18-wheelers, mm-hmm. I do that as well.
Uh-huh, because there's safety in numbers, and they're big. And
right.
so stay right at night. That's mm-hmm. your best chance to avoid something.
Right.
Okay, so you obviously realize what's on the line by drinking and driving, that your safety, your job, your families, and strangers. And so why do so many people drink and drive? What is it about alcohol and substances that just impair the judgment of people, who have good judgment?
Well, one thing that we call alcohol is liquid courage. People feel like sometimes that they, they can drink enough and they're good enough to drive. And a lot of times before this individual was arrested, they've probably done it 20, maybe even 30 times and never have been arrested. So they'll think, I'm okay to do so. So I think they build up this false confidence that they're okay to drink and drive.
Mm-hmm, 'cause nothing ever happened.
Right.
How about Laura? Why do you think people drink and drive? Do you understand it?
Unfortunately, I can't speak on behalf of the public on their reasoning for drinking, but I mean, it's a time for celebration. You know, people want to relax. It helps them to unwind. But they also have to remember the consequences of what could happen if they did get behind the wheel. I mean, like Officer Green said, you know, wrong way driving. That's been an issue for several years, and we're still trying to, trying to conquer that. And we educate a lot on that, and it's a great reminder. Mm-hmm. It's a great reminder. Don't be drinking, and especially late at night after 10 p.m., especially on Fridays and Saturday nights. That's when the most activity does take place.
Here, you know, we're talking about Fiesta, and we know there's a lot of drinking going on during Fiesta. Other times of the year, what are other times of the year concern you?
Every day. It's, you know, we may have a night off where we don't have any fatalities or any wrong way driver, but it's still an issue, and it would be great if we didn't have a wrong way driver activity take place at any part of the day, any part of the year.
I know y'all have done a lot of things to prevent wrong way driving. And you know, I never understand how people can get on the freeway the wrong way. But sometimes there's older people with a cognitive impairment, and sometimes it's alcohol. Mm-hmm. And so what have y'all done to prevent that?
Of course, the majority has been alcohol related, and we started our pilot program a few years ago on US 281 because that's where the highest number of activity was taking place between I-35 downtown to just north of Loop 1604. Airport was the highest area that had received the most calls. Can't understand why, but we added radars to that section of US 281, and of course with the work with it, working with San Antonio Police Department, it's a great we communicate with each other and working closely with them, we're able to work together to be able to get to those vehicles as quickly as possible. And then using the dynamic message signs. And then, of course, we have the illuminated signs, mm-hmm. the wrong way signs, letting folks know that there is a wrong way driver, not to enter. But, you know, our work, we still have work to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed on some of the exits, you have the red flashing,
way. They do flash. And a lot of people have asked us, well, why don't you put spikes at the exit ramps? Unfortunately, those are used in like parking areas where it's the speed limit is lower than what it is to exit the highway. So unfortunately, it has been looked at, but it's not a good solution, especially if an emergency vehicle needs to enter and exit. It's not appropriate for that area.
Mm-hmm. So that's Fiesta. So we want everyone to have a plan. Plan while you can. That's the message for Fiesta. So let's just talk about driving in general, because Laura, you mentioned that you had the Humans at Work campaign. And you know, when I drive by the workers on the highway, I just think, God, watch after those men and women, because people are driving 60 miles an hour. I mean, and officers too,
yes.
and paramedics and firefighters that are out there standing next to traffic. Mm-hmm. I just like, oh my gosh, these people do this for a living.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, the highest number of crashes and fatalities that take place in work zones is not the workers themselves. It's actually the drivers that are behind the wheel. So, you know, definitely if there's a construction zone, you need to definitely remember to travel the speed of that construction zone and watch it for workers, because there are people, these are men or women that they have families and they need to get home to their families and friends, but you need to also. And so definitely you want to be careful and driving through those work zones.
Mm-hmm. I think it's Doug, you got something to say?
Yeah, well, you know, we had Officer Jonathan Esquivel has been on the show before, and he was hit by a distracted driver. And, you know, of course, again, as I mentioned, we've lost officers in this manner. And, you know, it's definitely something that you think about when you're a police officer. You know, we get calls for a robbery in progress, a shooting in progress, cutting in progress. We're on the way. We are going to get to that call as soon as we can. But when we get a call on one of our freeways for a major accident, you say a little prayer and you take a deep breath, because you want to get on that freeway and get off of that freeway as soon as possible, because you know that there are people there. You have your looky-loos. And they see those lights, they start to veer towards you. And so we are, let me tell you, I know people sometimes get a little impatient when there's a major accident, but I guarantee you, we are trying to get that accident cleared as soon as possible for your safety and ours.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, I thought about RoboCop, your RoboCop. You know, that you've got that, what an incredible guy.
Jonathan?
No, not Jonathan. The one who was hit on a downtown freeway, lost his leg.
Thornton.
Michael Thornton.
Oh, yeah. Officer Thornton. Yeah.
Officer Thornton. So,
yeah. And that's Officer Thornton. And we've had other officers in the past that have been, you know, struck. Sergio Antion was hit by a drunk driver, and he just got off of work. And this is amazing. He could have just went home, but he saw someone on the side of the freeway that needed help. He went there to help them, and then he was struck by a drunk driver out there on the freeway and lost his life. So again, it's heartbreaking, and it is personal to SAPD.
It's so dangerous out on the roads. You know, you don't even think about it though when you're driving. So critique our driving. What are we doing? If you could fix the drivers in San Antonio, Doug, what would you have us do?
Plain and simple, just slow down and take your time. That's it. I think everybody's in a rush these days, and so have a little patience, take your time. And here's my big pet peeve. Use your turn signals. Please use your blinkers. So that's just common Texas courtesy. Let the other people behind you know if you're going to make a lane change or not. Because you just have people just merging into lanes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you have no idea
that they're coming at you.
And it causes an accident. So I would say, please just have a little patience. Slow down. Please use your turn signals.
Mm-hmm. And then phones. You know, we've mentioned people texting, people on their phones. And I told you my road rage story before we started that we just have a lot of people that aren't totally focused on their driving.
Yeah. They are distracted. They are distracted by, you know, everybody has a cell phone these days. You know, I don't know if you've ever lost your cell phone for just like maybe a couple minutes, but you feel...
The panic?
Yeah. Like you may have lost a limb. You know, you're like, where's my phone? And so everybody is definitely attached to their phones these days. But again, you either need to, there's so many other options though. There's different settings. Like I know on my wife's phone that she has it set up that if you call her, you'll get an automatic text message back saying, I'm driving right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't, I think it's a driving mode setting. Mm-hmm. So there are options out there. People can use their speaker phones and so forth. But I would recommend just don't use your phone at all if you can. Just to try to get where you need to be. Or if you really need to take that phone call, pull over to a safe area, you know, maybe a private parking lot, take the phone call, and then get back on the freeway.
You know, Dr. Lillian Lau was here. She's a trauma surgeon at University Health System. And she was saying what she does, she puts her phone in her back seat so she cannot touch it or talk on it while she is driving.
Yeah. Right.
And that's a little far separation for some people. But I thought, you know, that is excellent because you kind of get caught up in it. You know, I mean, I'll admit to, you know, because I'm waiting for a call and it's important and I can't miss it. And I'm doing 60 miles an hour on the freeway. And you think, well, I probably shouldn't answer this, but I need to talk to that person. Mm-hmm. You just feel this urgent need to, and so it's like, yeah, and you think, well, maybe I shouldn't do that, huh?
Yeah,
I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do that because it can wait. So important that I have to do it now at 60 miles an hour and endanger myself and other people?
Absolutely.
And then if I'm in an accident, you're without your car, you know, you've inconvenienced, and then if you've hurt someone, how do people live with themselves after they've hurt someone?
Right. See, that now that's something that you just can't take back. When you get into an accident, seriously hurt somebody or if they lose their life, that's something that you have to live with. And then you, when something that traumatic happens to you, you start to think about automatically, how could I have prevented this? And it's unfortunate when that prevention could have been just so simple, just by not answering that phone. And you could have potentially have not gotten to that situation.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, and so teen drivers, I think teens love their phones. I mean, we all love our phones, but teenagers are really attached to their phones and they're new drivers. So so is there a message for teenage drivers?
Well, absolutely. You know, just again, you know, put that phone in an area where you can't get to it. Commit to yourself. Grow up a little bit. And mature and just take what we're saying to you right now about all these horrible accidents that have been happened. We just had the accident where the
13 people from New Braunfels.
Okay, we do have our safe officers that go out. They go out to the schools, talk to teenagers about this. We have a vehicle that we tow around that's been in a major accident. This one was as a result of a DWI, but it's just a harsh reminder So, you know, just take a little initiative and don't be that person.
Mm-hmm. Now, don't y'all do something before prom at schools? Who does that? The police departments, the Shattered Dreams? Who does that?
We have participated in Shattered Dreams. And just before I jump into that, I just want to remind everyone that April is National Distracted Driving Month. And so that is why we're talking about this. And just to be aware, last year we had over 452 deaths related to distracted driving. And so we just want people to be aware and take the extra precautions. A lot of times when you're driving on the freeway, you see people talking, texting, shaving, eating, everything but what they're supposed to be doing. When we're on the freeway or roads, our primary responsibility is to drive. And we've gotten away from that. We don't drive. And so, you know, you always hear us saying safety is our number one priority, and we're not going to get away from that. And so we do start as a traffic safety specialist. I do go out into the community. I do go to schools. I started elementary schools, middle schools, high schools. And we're always, whether it's a show and tell, this is what can happen if you pick up your phone and you're behind the wheel. And so to get the kids involved, even our little kids, you know, hey, if you see mom and dad driving and they're texting and they pick up their phone, mom, don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be safe. Let's get home safely. So it can start. You can teach the little kids, you know, and that's the message that we're trying to get across. I am one of those persons, too. I do put my purse on the back seat because I'm tempted, you know. When that phone rings, it's like, oh, I got to get to it right now.
Right.
You know?
I understand that.
It's not that urgent. If you were on the freeway this morning and you saw our DMS board, it said drive smart, text later. It can wait. We partnered with AT&T a couple of years ago, and that phone call, it can wait. It's not worth my life. It's not worth someone else's life. You know, if it's that important, pull off the road, pull into a parking space. Talk, text, whatever you want to do, but don't do it on the road. And so we just got to be mindful and careful of each other and for my fellow drivers on the freeways also.
Mm-hmm. And Laura?
I was going to add to what Robbie said, especially with the young kids. You know, my son is with me all the time. He's going to be 10 years old, and he knows he's got to click it. He knows as soon as he gets in the car, and I'm afraid of what's going to happen when he gets older and starts driving. But, you know, I stress it to him. Don't use your phone. Don't do this. You mm-hmm. know, yes, I have a vehicle that the phone does ring in my car and it's hands-free. But still, you know, that distraction right there, it could be something good. It could be something bad. And your attention needs to be 100% behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the statistics on, because I thought everybody buckled up. I mean, why wouldn't you use your seatbelt? It's for your safety. Do you know the statistics?
Well, if you think about old school, you know, we didn't use it back in the day. But, I mean, we stress it so much. Like I said, I've been with the department long enough to, it's like a broken record, but yet I keep telling people you need to do this because I don't have the statistics offhand, but it's gone up and down, but yet we still our primary goal is to educate the public about click it or ticket, don't drink and drive, don't use your cell phone. So it's all education, just reminding education.
And you know what we're seeing a lot out there as well, Chrissy, is people are not buckling up their kids. They're buckled up in the front seat, but the kids are just running around in the back. Mm-hmm. And I can pretty much guarantee you that you're not going to get a warning from an officer if he finds you with those kids not buckled up. And again, it's not the officers trying to be mean, but as first responders, we have seen some very harsh stuff out there, and especially in vehicle accidents. Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest part about the job, when you see a child that is a victim of a fatality accident.
And, you know, I think kids, you have to be in a safety seat till you're, it's weight-based, isn't it? Weight-based. It's age and weight-based. It's a combination?
Height and weight.
Height and weight. So some kids, they're like 8, 9, 10 years old, and they still need to be in some kind of a booster seat or a car seat, and it is for their safety. Anyone here gotten a ticket, like, lately? Oh, no. What good drivers. Me neither. I'm so proud to say, you know, and so, but anyway, the last time someone around me got a ticket, it was like a couple $100. Tickets are not cheap, not like $25, $35. Heck, even parking tickets can be kind of pricey. So, you know, so safety, financial reasons, there's a whole lot of reasons to work on being a better driver, correct?
Yes.
Well, hey, I want to thank you guys for stopping by this Sunday morning during Fiesta. Laura Lopez, Robbie Smith from the Texas Department of Transportation, and Officer Doug Green from the San Antonio Police Department. And their message is?
Have a plan. Be safe. Viva Fiesta.